And action! Welcome back to Written and Directed By. I am your host, Harrison Berger. Oh, we have the crowd. We have a crowd today.
Couple of clappers.
Oh, hello.
And Justin.
Oh, What's up, Harrison?
Yeah, and Justin's here. Hey, guys. So today on the show, we have very special guests. My good friends. I hope I can call you guys good friends now.
We're yes, more than friends,
yes,
Harrison.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The pre-show warm-up.
The soon-to-be famous band Bear Squared.
We would hope so.
Thank you.
If the gods can play music and survive.
I see it. I see it happening.
If Zeus blesses it, then it'll happen.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen. Zeus is going to bless us.
Yeah.
Then we're going to be called the Children of Zeus. That'll be our band.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about
that. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Going to get into heavy metal?
We will talk about that.
All right, cool. I'm excited. All right, well, thanks for being on today, guys.
Yeah,
I really appreciate
it.
I've been trying to get Steven to come on for at least over a month.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I'm slowly awaiting until my film's more ready.
Yeah. So for everyone that's listening,
Bear Squared's trending higher right now. Let's go in the trending direction.
Yeah. So for everyone that's listening or watching, this is the Steven I've been talking about.
Not sure that's good or bad. Nice to meet y'all.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And he had a great idea, and I actually didn't think about it, which is shame on me, but he said, why don't we have Bear Squared come on and we'll play some songs. We can talk about the band. And it is a brilliant idea, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. And
we got some music to share, and we're honored and happy to be here and, you know, hope we can entertain and inspire.
I hope so. I think so.
Right.
And, you know, eventually you'll come on solo because you're obviously just a pussy.
Exactly. From the waist
time.
Only from the
I'll tell you what.
Only from the waist down.
Like Buck Angel, huh?
Oh, my idol, yeah.
Exactly. I like Buck Angel.
Well, that's on the record now. Anyway. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So, guys, this is Steven. I already introduced this party.
Yeah, I play bass in Bear Squared, yeah. And I've been jamming with his band for a couple years now, and these are my bandmates.
Yeah. So,
I'm Graham. I play drums for Bear Squared. I've been in the band for about 2 years now. Met Gajo over here through Craigslist, believe it or not. And ever since, it's been absolutely terrible. So I'm just looking for a way out.
Is it terrible or terrifying more than terrible, I think. It's been pretty scary.
Slumber parties don't help.
Yeah, they don't.
Can I get in on that?
Well, you can play your cards right, maybe.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Anyway, and you are Gay Joe or Joseph?
Yes. So, that nickname we can get into
later. Please.
Yep.
Okay, later.
Yeah. I mean, we can get into it.
Well, whenever you want to come out, it's fine.
I want to make it very clear that that name did not originate from me, and I take no offense to that, but I am very feminist. And I am very pro-gay supporting. To the point that literally I'm wearing Wazi, which is, you know, they're
great,
one of
record.
Our great friends. And they are very big in that community.
Yeah, they are. They're psyched.
Check them out. So, yeah, the Gay Joe thing, you know, I think it's funny. It's good.
Do you ever get shit for it?
What was it?
Do you get shit for it? Like, do people
get
mad at you?
I don't get shit for it. I just want to, like, go on the record saying,
yeah.
You know, like, on the actual record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is actual
that,
record.
Like, you know, because there's been occasions where that name has been brought up with people who may or may not be gay. And I just want to make sure that they don't get offended.
Because,
you know?
I mean, the first time I met you,
like Steve.
Justin... told me about it. He's like, yeah, you know, Steven's gonna be here and then Gay Joe's gonna be here, and I just assumed that you were gay and that they just like flat out called you Gay Joe because of the fact that you were gay.
Gay has many definitions,
yeah.
So
of course, I mean,
we're not that binary
but
in this group.
We're 2018
completely straight.
Exactly.
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
Justin, You're completely gay.
There's a guy behind the camera.
Yeah, we have a camera out
He's
today.
He's flexing
I guess.
And wearing a Batman shirt. I mean, there's no other words I can put to that. Yeah. Quickly, let's segue out of Justin flexing, please.
Yeah, it's getting weird. Yeah.
So, I'm Joe. I sing, I play guitar in the band. Steve and I have been playing together for maybe 8 or so years at this point.
Oh, wow.
Graham and I and Steven have been playing together. Graham and I have been playing longer by like one session because I recruited him.
Nice, yeah.
And
Joe and I grew up playing without drummers for a long time because we didn't get along with a lot of them for a long time. Exactly. So Graham came along and it was like...
Just serendipity.
It all worked out nicely.
Well, he's multi-instrumentalist. He's an artist.
He's bi-instrumental? Try?
Yeah.
Quadra? Yeah. Quadra-instrumental?
Whoa. Whoa. Don't bring math into this.
He plays a lot of instruments.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be real in the sense that drumming, percussion adds everything, all the energy to the mix, you know?
Because that's like the bass, right? That's like the bass line, like the, not like the bass line, but like the, the foundation of like the, where you get your tempo and your rhythm.
It's like, it's basically like where you get people from feeling to moving.
Okay.
And dancing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But you get someone who understands art and you get a completely different band, you know?
Right.
You get a drummer who's not saying, let's play faster. Let's play faster. Oh, no, oh, it's your guys' fault. You guys are too slow. Blah, or stopping in the middle of it and being like, oh, you guys slipped up 2 BPM. Like, let's restart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To someone who just feels it, you know? And can play multiple instruments.
That's awesome. Yeah. So what?
Literally, like, he'll show you in a bit. He's going to be playing guitar.
Ooh. So you play drums, guitar, what else?
Bass, piano.
Awesome. He's a pretty filthy bassist. I'm pretty jealous.
I mean, anything I can get my hands on, really.
That's awesome.
True artist.
I think it's really just like, you know, what notes go together. Mm-hmm. If you understand notes, then you can really learn any instrument.
Right.
And I think that applies to anything, really. You know, if you can find a way to understand it, you can find formulas and you make your own methods on how to learn and teach yourself. And
right.
That's kind of what I did growing up was I never had any guitar lessons, no bass lessons, no piano.
Really?
I had, I did percussion class in middle school and that was the only training I had in drums too. And so really all it was just playing so much and fucking up and playing messy until you come up with something accidental that you're just like, whoa! And then you just record it. You take your mom's iPhone because you don't have one yet, and you
roll with it.
Pop up the voice memos, and now today, you know, I probably have like 250 voice memos on my phone, all riffs from way back in, you know, 6th or 7th grade, and all of them are to this day still ones that I want to play and record in some
way. That's awesome.
Graham started young, 6th and 7th grade.
Yeah.
Oh, 3rd grade.
Really? Yeah. See, I didn't even touch an instrument until I was 18.
I got my drum set in 3rd grade, played my first show in 5th grade, and ever since.
Yeah.
Wow. Does the recorder count as an instrument?
It does.
I played that in 7th grade
that's
then.
How
so.
That,
I know
that late?
That you went to Catholic school.
They forced the recorders on you.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. No comment on that.
For the record, I just want to say I think that should be instilled in every school is to have recorder lessons.
I played recorder in elementary school.
All throughout something.
Yeah,
something
they
that,
should be pushing art on people.
Because otherwise, what else do you have that's really pushing you in the musical direction other than that 30-minute music class that you have during school?
I know.
Yeah.
When that can be the most important way to find ways to be more creative.
Or express yourself.
Anything.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. That's why I think it's bullshit that there's trying to strip away arts programs.
Liberal
arts
stuff. Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah. That's what is, you know, driving the industry. And, you know, the logos that you see today, Facebook, all those things, where did they come from? They came from very creative people that were either on LSD or they were completely sober.
Yeah.
And they just had these visions come to mind. But, you know, who knows what kind of background they had to get them to that point, whether it was a bleak, you know, sheltered background of growing up in a suburban household and, you know, going to school and getting good grades, going to college as expected, or whether it was getting in trouble a lot and skipping class and, you know, just kind of accidentally falling into things. Either way, you could end up in the same point, no matter what your background is.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's so cool about music, is that it's kind of brought us around in that sense, is when we're writing, we've all come from different backgrounds, so it creates a whole different sound out of that.
Yeah, that's something we should really emphasize. We grew up not listening to any of the same music, all three of us, at all.
Well, we all listen to the same music. We do have connecting elements. It's just the writing portion of it. We just don't. We play. I mean, why would you become a drummer? Why would you become a bassist? Why would I become a singer? You know, we all have our different backgrounds. And
totally.
Why? Mm-hmm. And you know, like for me, I wasn't allowed to play guitar.
Really?
Growing up. Yeah.
Why? Like
my parents, they were like, "You need to play sports." You know, they were like, "You're too like feminine, this and that." You know, and they were just like, "You need to play sports." Like, you know, I would literally play.
All right, sorry about that. I'm sorry, Joe. So, you were saying that your parents didn't want you to play.
Yeah. So I one thing that I wanted to do more than anything was play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And so my parents, they, you know, like, I don't know, my dad, did somebody just fart?
No, I moved and...
It was definitely Steven.
I just heard Come on. Fart. And I literally, like, you saw. but nonetheless...
Smell will tell, so right. We'll see. If it smells, then you can say it.
Graham, can you check?
Yeah.
Check what?
His ass.
I will not.
So did you, your parents were strict, but like, was it?
Oh, they, like I had a very strict childhood.
Okay.
But regardless of that, you know, like I would, I'd be playing soccer and they would move me to goalie. Nothing against goalies, but like, just because I would just sit there and like pick up like dandelions and shit, just fucking blow.
Yeah.
Like I didn't care. You know?
That was me in baseball.
Yeah, like I didn't
sit in the outfield and just pick grass.
Yeah, like I just didn't care. And like I wanted to play guitar so bad, and they just wouldn't let me, you know?
Yeah.
They were like, too feminine, you need to be more manly, this and that, blah blah blah. And you know, I didn't even find out about that until later in life. Like I knew that I couldn't play guitar like for a long time. And I actually got my first guitar from my little brother, because he was really good at sports, so they bought him a guitar.
Oh.
Yeah?
Interesting.
And then he never used it, so then I just fucking took it, you know? Like, you know, like, but that's how I started singing, because singing was the way that I could express myself. And
so you were singing before you started playing guitar?
Yeah, I started singing, and then I was collaborating with people who were singing or playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just like, you know what, like, every time that this person is available to play guitar, I don't want to, you know, like, it just didn't, like, scheduling, like, we all know, like, scheduling sucks. Like,
yeah.
If we weren't at the skill levels that we are at right now, and we were all just starting out, like, we would never survive, you know? Like, that's just hands down. So you need to cut, I mean, if you plan on making it in the music industry at all whatsoever, you know, whatever... is left of it, you know, you need to come in with a passion, and you need to come in with some skills, you know?
There we go.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Just cut out everything Steve says.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why you haven't heard Steve.
Yeah, I'm done talking, Joe. Joe gets weird actually, and I stop talking.
So I actually had a question about...
That's how you'll know.
About, you start saying about how, like, coming up, if you had to, like, start now... how, as far as like the industry is going now, how do you think it's super intense to get going in it now? Like even as people, as a group that isn't like fresh, you know, fresh together, but like, you know, you have music out on Spotify, you're working on your guys' albums and things like that. So as people that are, as a group that's currently in it, like, is it still difficult versus like if I wanted to start a band tomorrow, you know, how like how much easy.
I'll say what I'm going to say, and then I want to hear like what each of them want to say. Because we all had this conversation literally yesterday.
Okay.
we were like, we did like a practice session and whatnot. And basically, you know, from my thought process, you know, at this point, you know, you have to have some sort of way of getting finances.
Right.
You know, like, and the thing is one thing that I've realized from just doing multiple different things is that what ends up happening is you get very focused into something that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment, there was a turning point, like when I was getting my master's, you remember, like I was getting my master's and I was like, do I want to pursue this path of getting my master's? But I also had a job working in a music studio.
Okay.
You know? And I saw how they were living. And I saw that, like, they lost why they were in the industry in the first place. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of them. And this was, I mean, this was a pretty decent studio that I was working at, you know? And nonetheless, you know, you're talking to these people and they're talking about their past experiences and reliving them and this and that, but they're not happy, you know? And
yeah.
In life, in my opinion, what matters is being happy.
Yeah, 100%.
And the 100%. Thing is like, you know, when you, if you go into this industry just thinking that you're going to write good music and this and that, and just all of a sudden you're going to be like shitting out $100 bills, then you're going to wake up and you're literally going to be a roadie fucking, you know, no offense to roadies, but
they're important.
Literally like you're not going to be doing what you went into this industry
right.
to do. And, you know, you look at artists. I saw a band the other day. You know, I'll say it right now. I saw Borns the other day. You know, I saw Borns like 2 years ago or two or three years ago at Coachella. Just he was playing piano, singing. I don't know if you've heard him before, but
no.
He's got like an angelic voice. And I saw him, and he was just completely just. Like he didn't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and he was so worn out. And not only that, but he was wearing like Nike, like short shorts and like a Nike, like thing that looked like a crop top,
yeah.
like a track jacket. And he literally stopped in between songs, posed and like said something like Nike promo.
Oh, yikes.
And like, And I know just because of the research that I've done that he probably, like, you know, the cut of him, like, getting from that is so minimal, you know, to the point that degrading yourself to that level is literally probably because of the fact that he signed a shitty contract and he stuck in a situation where they tell him what to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So at this point, like, you have to be smart about going in this industry and you have to love what you do.
100%.
And you have to have passion and you have to feel that what you're doing is you're reviving something that has been caught in this whole, you know, I mean, you see it right now. You saw it in 2008 with housing. You saw it. You see it all across just greed, you know?
Yeah.
Greed. And right now, I think, is the perfect time. Music needs to come back. Music.
Yeah, 100%. And I think Steven can agree to this. It's the same thing that's happening in the film industry as well. Everything is the same. It's all about dollars and cents. Like, there's no original content anymore unless you're talking about streaming.
Not from the studios,
yeah,
at least.
It's all blockbuster movies. It's all, what can we make the dollar on? And people that I've talked to, it's all about, if you're doing this, it's, you have to love it. You have, you know, and that's what I'm excited for, to to like to do is to bring back like what's missing from Hollywood. And I think what I love about you guys is how different your sound is and how unique it is that would like, it catches your ear and you're like, what is that? And how can I find more of this? And I mean, like, that's how I felt when I first heard you guys is when you guys were done, I wanted more. And I feel that every time I see you guys.
Well, you're going to get more soon. Sure.
I'm excited.
I promise.
I've never heard that after sex.
Yeah.
Well, just come over more often. Yeah. We can get Justin to tell you that too.
Where is that little guy?
I don't know. Hey, little guy.
Anyway, yeah. Back to what Joe was saying, though, the music industry, it's different.
Mm.
I mean, blame technology if you want, but we were talking about it yesterday. We think it's sad to say, but unfortunately, it's about like having lots of followers more than talent, and you have to learn to market yourselves accordingly. Because if you don't have a ton of followers, promoters will look at you differently. And if you have no talent, a ton of followers, you'll get attention. It's
right.
It's completely flipped upside down and ass backwards and insane. But that's the world we live in. So,
do you think technology, like streaming services, has a lot to do with the industry kind of falling
directly
apart?
Declined it.
I
absolutely
think with any kind of technological advancement, there's always the good and bad outcomes of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always pros and cons, and I think with the streaming, you know, there's so many more artists these days that can do it themselves.
Right.
You know, they don't have to rely on a label. Like, take Chance the Rapper, for instance. He did so much on his own and like said no to so many labels and was able to, he's doing so much right now and just killing it because he just believes in his own product and the way he can put it out there, as opposed to a company that thinks they could put it out better than him.
Right.
And I think that's something that we're striving for as well, is that we're making it so that we're self-sufficient with or without any kind of help from a financial structure or something like that. And I think it's kind of proving itself right now through our shows, our music that's being created, and everything that goes into that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We got a fucking... encore at the Rainbow Room.
Yeah, I was there.
Rainbow.
Yeah.
First band and only band that got an encore, so it's the most random thing, too.
Yeah, it was a cool venue to play.
Yeah.
First Sunset Strip show. Like, like real Sunset Strip show that we played.
Yeah. And that was with a good friend of ours, Ian Down, who's an amazing musician as well. He records, he's got his own label, SKR, and he's just killing it right now as well.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We're playing. That's where we're playing on November 10th.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
SKR Studios.
That's awesome.
A little private event. It should be fun.
I'm excited for that, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you better be there.
I'm going
to
be there.
We'll try to get you on the list. I don't know if it's going to
happen. I mean, he is the cameraman, and in a lot of scenarios, the cameraman's important.
He'll be number one.
Justin's your cameraman, but, you know, he's not. He's got something else to do.
He's flexing out of state.
But I'll tell you guys right now who's been killing it.
Who's that? Graham?
On the fucking marketing materials. So, like, one of the things that we've changed recently is, you know, and I would advise any bands, you know, once you get to the point where you realize, you know, hey, this is the sound that I want, and I'm totally cool with recording multiple albums with these people. Once you get to that point, that confidence level.
Yeah.
And I think after my surgery, like when we took that hiatus, we all realized, you know, we were burnt out at that point. Like, we were playing shows, and the thing is a lot of people, someone circled me back after this to where my original point was, because I have really bad ADD. But the thing was that when I got my shoulder surgery, we were playing shows that... it was just like, it's basically the way that it is how can you beg your friends to go to this shitty fucking bar on a weeknight just to see your band and then they leave right after?
Right.
You know? That's like how it is. Right.
Well, because, you know, venues today, most of the time, they're really bars that created a venue space within their own bar area to just really up their bar sales.
Right.
So it's really not even about the bands as much. I mean, the most you get out of it is making a connection with the promoter that books the bands for that show.
Right.
Because what they can do is connect you with other people or get you at a better place where it actually matters and random people actually come out and see you, like our good friend Ian Down, who's been really just kind of getting us out in new places like Sunset Strip playing at the Rainbow and just things like that. It's really just kind of been getting new faces out there, and it kind of helps in many ways.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think, you know, that's like the true position of a promoter is to bring out fans, but today all they're really doing is getting you the show, and then you get your own fans, which is most of the time your friends,
right?
And so you kind of either have to pick and choose which ones you invite them to, or you spam them every time you have a show coming up.
Yeah, and it's just it feels awful just being like, hey, like, come, like, can you come out to like that's a Thursday, or Thursday's a good fucking night to
great
get,
night
you know, like,
yeah,
like, like, and, Wednesday, like, I mean, Saturdays and Fridays are the best, you know?
Right. But,
like, you have to work for those.
Yeah.
Like, those are very difficult to get, you know?
Yeah.
And at this point right now, we're playing, like, fucking Friday night at, you know, Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
It's fucking dope. And it feels great.
It was awesome.
It feels like we've really, like, progressed really far in terms of just, you know, we chose to focus on music, and chose, you know, and it feels good when you choose to focus on music and you choose to be open-minded and you choose to say, you know what, we're progressive and we might have all different backgrounds, but we all bring things to the table.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you come, and then you come to songs and you play them in front of people. Sometimes people don't like it. Sometimes people do. Sometimes it's Run, which is Graham's favorite song. And then
take that off the record.
Inside joke.
And then other times, yeah, like, so.
I mean, and like with all that, because you can't really rely on random faces all the time, one thing you can turn to a lot is the marketing aspect of your band, and whatever way you can get it out there, whether it's physical flyers on posts, which, you know, barely works half the time, or it's, you know, just Facebook, Instagram, any kind of social media that really today is the only way to get out to people and still is very hard to reach and get them to physically get up out of their house and leave that comfort zone to go see something they've never seen before.
100%.
And, you know, 100%. Risk it to whether it's good or bad or waste their night or, you know, shows them a complete whole new experience.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we've really been striving for right now is that kind of original style or origin that you kind of find, you know, looking at your roots and seeing what is our image, like what kind of visuals do people get when they hear us and how can we match that with our sound and market that so that way when we put it out there, it seems uniform and it seems like a whole piece of art, not just a combination of many different things as a collage. Like we put it together and it's one entity.
Yeah.
Where it is an image, a visual and a sound all at the same time. And I think that's how we put it out there.
That's awesome. Love it. So I know, like, so I know Steven's music is like kind of jam bandy, you know, we kind of have a very similar style of music that we like. And I remember he told me that you guys don't listen to the same music. Like, so when you come together, does it affect playing? Because you guys don't obviously play, you know, you play multiple instruments.
I want to hear Steve's thought.
Yeah.
I think we come from three very different outlooks on music and three different, completely different styles. I mean, I grew up in an Orange County music scene that was either punk rock or reggae. And like when I met Joe, like Joe knew Sublime. That's how we kind of got along at first and whatnot. But like a lot of the songs I know, Joe doesn't know. And almost every song that he knows, like Radiohead and all this stuff, I don't really know. So we have this total yin and yang thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I said. You knew the Sublime stuff. I didn't know like a lot of your music. And I was very in a very distinct style of music. And I played my bass a very specific way. And you'd think our styles wouldn't, you know, work together at all. And they totally do. And yeah, same with Graham. Like, yeah, Graham and I clicked immediately, and I guarantee you, Graham and I don't go home listening to the same music.
Not at all.
Not even comparable. Yeah,
I'm sure we would listen to it and appreciate each other's music if we showed each other.
Yeah,
too,
for sure. Oh yeah, I'm not saying that we wouldn't.
It's like it's just this very open-minded environment when
that's
it
great.
Is writing, and I think it could be something as weird as he's playing a reggae bass, but I'm putting a hard rock beat behind it, and that's what makes our sound is this weird like.
Well, what am I doing?
Joe's just in the back doing nothing. He's
exactly.
reading half
He's
the time.
He's staring at us.
He's pretty much useless in the band.
That's kind of how we're changing. We're like, Graham and I would play something, and Joe would add layers to it, and then Joe would add words to it. But now we've got this new dynamic where we will do that, and then we'll take and obviously add a whole new progressive layer that we really haven't even diven. What's the best answer to dive? We've dove to back deep, like dove deeper into it, and added this like whole new dynamic that we haven't really shown anyone at all yet. And we kind of found our little niche, we think.
That's awesome.
Can we quit? Is it doved or deep? Dived?
Dug?
Dividended?
Would it be haven't dug deep enough?
Divin?
Divided.
Divided?
That's what it is. It's divid.
So, this was a big moment. This was a big moment for me. Okay. We are all hanging out and jamming. And, you know, you'll see on November 10th. But, you know, I'll spoil it right now. Basically, what happened was, I bought like a new guitar and all that. Like, I was feeling very confident in the band, which I am, like, at this point, it's the most confident I've ever felt in the band. And I bought this, like, fucking $200 pedal that basically takes my guitar and turns it into like an 80s synth.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. And like, we didn't talk about this.
Yeah.
And I just like, I played it a little bit here and there, blah, blah. You know, we have our show coming up. Like, let's not fuck around too much. Let's get ready for the show, blah, blah. And then it just felt like the right time. And I kick it on and, kick it on, just like it was more like
and it kind of fits our look and our branding and our style, and it's going to push us in a different direction completely.
That's so
like
awesome.
We're already going progressive, but we're going to go like 80s synth Bear Squared progressive, something different.
Who knows what the fuck but it's just like, it's just that energy of you know, I mean, I spend $200 on a pedal. It's past the return period time,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if I don't use, you know, if we don't use it together, I'll fucking maybe sit on it,
right?
You know, like on my spare time.
Yeah.
It's but like, yeah, you know, I mean, I'll play it regardless. But the fact that when I turned that on and it was such a different sound, you know, you're playing a fucking rock song that's like one of like our like most like standard alternative rock songs. Like if you look at like the Strokes and whatnot, like you know you take like the Strokes, this song is most similar to that, and then all of a sudden it just breaks down into 80 synth, and then it just breaks down to fucking sick bass line and then sick drums, and like then we're just fucking all vibing. And like, you know, if you listen to the original recording of it, because I recorded it on my phone, like they kept the tempo going and they kept the beat going, but you can hear in the background like, "What the fuck? That's sick!" And like, it's just like,
it was definitely a breakthrough.
That's awesome,
and it's gonna change everything.
That's so exciting.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think, I mean, I think we could throw anything on the table at this point, like.
So are you guys open, like, I mean, to experimenting each time? Like, do you have like a not like a certain specific sound, but like, do you, so from song to song, is it completely different? This is our niche style. We're going to stick to this. Or it's like, this is how this song sounds. And like, second song sounds.
I think that's how we work, is the fact that like, we all of us have our favorite songs and they're different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is like, we bring elements to bring it down to kind of this central point in a sense. But in the reality of things, you know, you look at it and you're right here in the galaxy. This is the sun. And you
we're going deep.
You have fucking, you know, Graham's idea of it, Steve's idea of it, my idea of it, and we meet like somewhere over here, mm-hmm. you know?
In the habitable zone.
You know? Exactly. And it's habitable. And if it's not habitable, we'll find out the first time we play it.
Yeah.
If people aren't vibing and they just stop, we'll just be like, oh, well, you know, maybe... You know, maybe we just didn't do it right, you know?
Mm.
And it's a good process. I think we have a good process down to be, you know, as far as success goes in the music industry, I feel good about where we are right now.
That's awesome.
And, you know.
Yeah, I'm excited for you guys. I really am. Like, I've never heard a sound like it. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm like... you know, a music expert by any means, but I've gone through my phases of music listening from, you know, I probably started listening to rap. Like my brother was really into rap, but my dad, you know, he grew up in the 70s and 80s. So I grew up listening to, Pink Floyd, you know, Led Zeppelin, Kiss, you know, like my first concert was Kiss.
Nice.
You know, so I've gone all over the map with music. But there's something so just out there in like the best way possible with your music that I think it'll just fucking explode for you. Absolutely. I really feel that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think that's a combination from the difference in backgrounds and that element of experimenting whenever we get together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what creates these new songs that sounds like nothing else. And I think even coming like from my own background, some of the first bands I got into when I was in elementary school, my dad was a huge Hendrix fan. Mm-hmm. So Jimi Hendrix to this day is one of my main influences. Him, Buddy Rich, you know.
And we are a three-piece like Hendrix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so. Even Dave Grohl, another hometown Virginia man. he's another idol I look towards. And Dave Matthews too, Charlottesville. Those guys kill it. And I think those kinds of things, like just playing in a band back then. And first song I ever learned in my band in fifth grade was Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix. And that alone just like started this whole trend. You know, then comes seventh grade, we're playing Mars Volta. And it's like, we're just like, where is it from here? And then like, you're playing like these weird progressive jazz songs where it goes from jazz to metal to rock to jazz to reggae to jazz to rock to whatever. And it goes on for 2.5 hours straight in somebody's basement.
That's sick.
Usually my basement.
My basement sounds crazy.
Was this wood paneled 70s looking jam basement that you'd spill drinks on the ground, you know, new carpet every year because it was just always messy. But like you'd have 15 or 20 of your best friends come over. There's only like 3 or 4 of you that can even play instruments. But what I would do, I had 2 of my best friends that they always, you know, their minds were ahead of their physical abilities.
So yeah.
They would have this riff they wish they could play, but they didn't know how to play the instrument. And so I took some time to teach one of my friends how to play bass, and I taught another friend how to play keyboard. So it gave me people to play with.
Yeah.
So that when I didn't have my other bandmates or people to jam with, I could just tell them. I'd be like, hey, here's a riff. Show them on bass. Hey, you, play this on keyboard, repeat it this many times. We'll go back and forth on 2 riffs. And then we would just make a mini song out of it, but we would play it for 3 hours.
That's awesome.
And then at the end of it, you're either hating each other and you just want to go smoke weed and go longboard, or you're loving it and you want to record it. And that's when you break out the voice memos once again. And voice memos, you know, that saves your records and your life.
That's so awesome.
Well said.
Yeah, so you guys are going to be playing 2 songs for the listeners tonight. What's the first one going to be?
First one, Animals, is actually a single newly released, and it's also on Spotify,
ooh,
Apple Music.
Wow.
And you can find it anywhere.
I'll link it below. I'll put the links below.
But yes.
So, yeah, we're going to take a quick break and let the guys play. You'll be able to hear.
Just a quick
note. Yeah, please.
The artwork
mm-hmm.
is some of the best artwork that we've ever seen. And
on that note.
So
on that note, guys, take it away.
A hard rock. Thank you.
making food without eating. Some is better than none. Burning wood without leaving. Homes for any. Yeah.
spilled drinks on the ground, you know, new carpet.
And we're back. That was fucking awesome, guys. I fucking love it.
It was really weird watching Justin film us like that. Dude, really weird.
You know, he loves to lay down and just do things laying down.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah,
that was nice.
Well, it's the angles.
I don't know how noticeable or he is like when you guys are playing live. If you guys like block everybody out, or if you actually like notice things, but he was getting some nut shots of you guys last week.
Yeah, when I play, I usually just try to make eye contact with Justin.
Okay,
most of the time.
We actually asked him beforehand to get as much below the waist shots as possible.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Benefit.
Make us look taller, please.
Yeah. You did a great job.
Yeah, he really gets in there. So, okay. I really loved it. I really love your acoustic versions because I've only ever heard you guys play live full piece band. Yeah, it's very completely different. And I'm on board if you guys are doing acoustic stuff. Like, I would love to hear more.
Yeah.
I would love it.
Definitely a different sound, and we actually only thought of this and started doing it yesterday. So I think it's really just spontaneous.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it just kind of came out.
Because I didn't even know that. Because Steve was just like, "Hey, can we do an acoustic set?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I didn't even know you.
We practiced it a couple times yesterday, and then that was it. And here we are.
That was kind of like a weird reaction I had too. Was like, "Yeah, why haven't we never even played these songs acoustically?" So it was really cool when we started to that it came out so differently, and for some reason I guess I wasn't expecting it, and it was surprising in a good way.
That's awesome. So are you planning to do more acoustic stuff, or are you thinking about incorporating acoustic stuff into like the regular
maybe it'll depend style, on how good this recording sounds. You might say like, oh yeah, it's because it sounds completely different. So
well here's the thing is that the thing that a lot of people don't realize is, you know, you look at like bands like Radiohead and stuff like that, and they have people handing them guitars like left and right,
right,
this and that, you know.
Yeah.
For us, you know, we have to carry every single thing ourselves, you know. So we bring an acoustic guitar. That's another additional amount of sound check. Majority of the venues that we get, they're like, sound check?
Yeah, it's not as thorough as you'd think.
What's that?
Gotcha.
It's like literally, and so, you know, when you're, it gets to the point, you know, just to be real, it gets to the point when you're like, okay, what's the first song that we're going to play? Because the first song that we're going to play is going to be our sound check.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha.
And you play a song that's more like instrumental with like fewer words, and then you can like give signals to the sound guy and whatnot to get the sound that you're looking for.
Sound guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've had shows where you couldn't even hear anything at all.
Oh, really?
Or I couldn't hear Graham. I mean, yeah, I could hear Graham, but like no one could hear their own instruments.
No, the only one that we've had it so that like literally the only person we could hear was Graham.
But he couldn't hear anything, so he didn't really know.
Yeah, we've probably had any technical difficulty you could have as a band so far.
Yeah.
So what still somehow conquered.
What do you do in a situation? Do you just keep going?
We just try to look at each other. And then Graham will watch my fingers, actually. He's got good vision.
I think I remember St. Patty's Day, we played an outdoor festival.
That's what I was talking about.
First band. So we were basically sound checking as we're playing the set. Because they were already 2 hours late and starting the show anyway.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But
we still got our 45 minutes.
Still got the 45
minutes. I made sure we got our fucking 45 minutes.
I remember the monitors weren't set up well enough yet. No. And so I couldn't hear anything. I don't think any of us
I couldn't even hear my own instrument. Imagine hitting your own bass and not being able to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think it's not turned on.
Yeah.
Yet the audience can hear it. So it's really weird.
That's wild.
We couldn't really even talk about it.
It was really nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But the thing was here's the thing. And this really brought us, like, I mean, I don't know, I can't speak for everyone, but this brought, like, a lot of confidence, like, to me, was the fact that, you know, I mean, we've, Graham's brought up Ian, Steve's brought up Ian, you know, that this is where we're playing on November 10th.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have gotten that gig if he didn't enjoy our sound.
Right.
And this was literally us playing as deaf as you could possibly play. Like, literally, like, Grant, like, I was just going, I couldn't even hear, like, the cymbals for the most part. I could literally just hear the kick drum, like, boom.
Yeah.
Like, just imagine, that's all you hear, and you're just like, You know, yeah. Like you're trying to sing it, this and that. You have no idea. And for our style of music, you know, there's a lot of like trippy effects.
You need to hear
like
everything,
that.
Yeah.
And you can't hear it. You have no idea like what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, I think for that specific time too, we didn't really communicate it at all, but all we could really do in that case was anytime Steve turned towards the drums, watch his wrist movements to see if you're on time or not. And if he's doing chords or if he's doing single notes, you know, if you're in the chorus or the verse or whatever he's doing, you kind of have to just go off the energy and the movements of the players.
Yeah.
And same with Joe, whether he's singing or not, I'm like, he's singing. It's maybe the verse. I think we're doing it right.
And then you just keep going. And we've like, so we've incorporated.
It's terrifying.
Like,
that's wild.
We've incorporated some like, some things into our playing style too. Like now, like what I'll do is I'll just like take the microphone and like if I'm not ready, I'll just be like, hey, can you guys like just keep looping it?
Yeah.
And I'll just like hold the mic out like that and just.
I've noticed that. I just thought it was something you did.
And I'll just put my head down. Like, and it's just kind of like, you know, it turns more into like a stylistic thing.
Yeah.
But in reality, like where it stems from is just communication.
That's great.
And you got to communicate with your band members because that's the only way you're going to sound good. And when we played Friday night, we had the most, like, royal fuck-up ever. But the thing was, you look at the video back, and, like, I've had, like, numerous people that weren't even at the show, just saw the video. Laura took videos, and Justin took videos. They saw the video, and they were like, Friday night was my favorite, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's, so it's just, it's insane, like, the level of indirect communication that you can get with your band members just by just picking up like random fucking weird choices. Like, it's
Well, I mean, if the more you, I guess it's like, you know, the more you spend time with each other, it's like you know how like Steve plays, you know how Graham plays, and then they all know how you play. So it's like it's a basically like a feeling thing, you know? Like,
for sure. You can definitely, over time, understand people's habits or like what people tend to lean towards when they play things, or like what, based on their style, what they might come up with. And even then, I'm always surprised the most, especially by Steve's bass, because he comes from that punk rock reggae background. But you know, we'll be experimenting and he'll come up with something out of nowhere that's just like, that's extremely progressive, Steve. I don't know where that came from. Yeah.
It came from you, Graham.
Please repeat it, and then it turns into a song out of there, and that's where so much comes out of, is just like accidental, just like, whoa, wait, just back up real quick and play that again.
Yeah,
and I think that's what I love the bass line in Animals. I think because it's very like,
you can thank Graham for that. Most of that is Graham's concept. I just threw a little bit in the middle of it. Yeah,
that song is from seventh grade. That bass line, and I just never did anything with it. I don't even remember how we brought it into practice, but Steve just like took it and added so much more to it, and it was like, well, it has to become a song.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Especially that bridge is so like dynamically different than the rest of the song.
I didn't come up with that sober, but I'm happy I did.
I think that one person was like, I'm just going to jump to this now.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely a collaborative sound piece when you're listening to it.
Yeah. That's, we all added a lot of layers to Animals.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cause I've heard that song in both versions, and it's hard for me to pick which one I like best because, you know, they're almost like two different things at this point.
Definitely.
But man, that blew me away. I was smiling ear to ear. I don't know if you guys could see me. I thought my face was going to rip off.
Right on, dude.
Yeah, it was good. So, I mean, this song wasn't like too, I don't know. It wasn't like filled with lyrics and like, but it was more, cause when I hear it, it's more of like a feel. But when I get it. So like, what inspires you to come together and like make a song like this with, or I mean, this is even as a broader question that can go to all your songs. Like when writing songs with lyrics, without lyrics, like what kind of inspires you to do that?
I mean, every song's different, and that's the beauty of it. Like every single song is different. Sometimes we'll all like come up with something and then they'll name the song and I'll be like, fuck, you guys like stuck me with like a fucking like name. I don't know what I'm gonna do with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then other times it's like Animals was just like, you know, I mean, if you listen to the lyrics of Animals, it's just, it's about greed, you know? And, you know, take the emotions that you're feeling in the room and, you know, you just kind of take it and you funnel it into something, you know, like taking food without eating, some is better than none, burning wood without leaving food for anyone but one, and all they leave you there with is lies and lies and lies. And then it's just, and then they're Animals, you know, and that's it. And like,
I think that's especially one of my favorite lines is taking food without eating. And I think that's like so cool in a way that it illustrates an image of like humans have become more animalistic than animals are.
Exactly.
Animals have more compassion than what these white collar corporate fat cats are stuffing their penny pockets.
100%.
It's insane.
And that's just, and that's like, you know, we're playing together and we're all just fucking vibing. And then like we come together and just fucking happens.
Yeah. A lot of the new stuff usually starts without lyrics. Like our old stuff, Joe would have like some lyrics written out. We'd write something, but the newest trend is that it's like the three of us jamming something or one of us has something that we build from there. And the lyrics usually come last with the newest stuff.
Yeah.
But that might not continue. It's just how it's been recently.
Yeah. I think it fits really well too, because the jam happens so spontaneously that it, I feel like in Joe's perspective, I mean, you can definitely piggyback, like you have to sit with it and see what it makes you feel before you can really just write lyrics.
Exactly.
To it. You have to kind of understand that mood that it really creates naturally when you're listening
I'll just get the phone out and I'll record like most of our practice sessions, and then I'll take it home and I'll put it in Logic Pro. I'll just be like, you know, what can we use, what can we not, because sometimes we break into like crazy things and this and that, and then it's just like, okay, you know, this part like I can add lyrics to, and like this part like, you know, I can't. And then it's like, let's figure out together, you know, like what we're going to do from here.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to do a breakdown or this and that? And so we just, you know, we work together and we, and yeah, I mean, like bottom line is, I don't know. I mean, I feel great. And the funny thing about all of this is that I, you know, I want us to get this album out like so bad, you know, the studio album, and it's gonna take us a lot of work to get this album out. Our live album, you know, after November 10th, we don't have any more chances at our live album for the most part.
Okay.
So like, we have two songs for the live album, and they're sounding really, 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 really good. Vultures is one of them, which we're about to play.
Awesome.
And yeah, like the thing is, like we have like I think 4 or 5 songs, so we're pretty ambitious about the next one. I literally bought a new guitar and a new fucking pedal.
He's ready to go, guys. Like,
Johnny Greenwood guitar. How sick was that? I let both.
Yeah,
of you
it's
guys
nice.
It's the most I've
it's
ever.
It's a game changer.
A guitar, and I think it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Radiohead, right?
Yeah.
The lead guitarist of Radiohead. I bought the exact same guitar. Vintage,
oh, that's sick.
Them.
I love radio. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so, like, just to get that fucking meat.
Sound. Yeah.
And, like, the last, you know, we're real with each other, you know? As difficult as it might be at times, we're real with each other. And, like, the last time that we met, or the last time we played, you know, Steve's like, hey, it takes you way too fucking long to tune, you know? Blah, blah, this and that. I fucking bought a new tuner, $100 tuner, and fucking bought a new guitar that stays in tune, right?
Yeah,
that's great.
So
problem solved.
I listen to my fucking boys, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so it's very much a collaborative thing. Like you don't make a decision without being like, Steve, yes. Graham, yes.
Yeah.
It's not voting style.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like we have to vote on
right.
everything. it's like, let's hear each other out, mm-hmm. and we'll just kind of mesh something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the best way, because voting style would, like, I don't think voting style would ever work.
Yeah.
No, you know? Because either way, whatever you vote on is going to get changed. And yeah. so what happens is someone brings an idea, it's never going to be the same when it's finally put out.
Right.
Because after the mesh, it's a collaboration, mm-hmm. it's a compromise, or it's a new manifestation of what your first idea was.
Yeah.
So that's really what makes that whole new sound.
And it's whatever emotions yeah. people bring in. Like, if somebody brings in, like, something that's like, you know, hey, this is, like, this means a lot to me to yeah. be done this way.
Like, a perfect example, Animals. It wasn't called Animals ever. It was just a song that I had written. He put Animals on there. He put the lyrics together. Like, he created the other part of the mood that makes the song what it is, with Steve's bass driving through the whole time.
That's awesome.
And so that's, like, representative of the whole collaboration
right yeah. there. That's great. I yeah. love it. So we're going to have you play your next song, Vultures. Can you tell me a little bit about, before you guys start playing, can you tell me, like, a little bit about it? Like, that's what it inspires
yeah,
you?
But ancient scroll song.
I'll give it a rundown.
Yeah.
So Vultures basically is a song. It's a very dark song. And normally I like to contrast, you know, the, you know, I like to make a song that sounds dark mm-hmm. actually be light, you know,
yeah,
and vice versa. But this song is just a dark song in general. And this song was a song that, you know, everyone goes through hard times in our lives.
Of course.
And some people cope with things differently, you know. And this song is about addiction. And, you know, anyone who's ever been through any sort of addiction in any way, shape, or form knows that it never leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spiritually, it will always stay, and you're always going to be fighting back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because in life, nothing's ever perfect, you know?
Of course.
And the thing is you always know that there's an out, but the fact of the matter is that whether or not you choose that out is up to you, and Vultures is about that.
Gotcha.
And we're going to play it now.
Yeah, please do. Take it away. Yeah, we'll have you guys play, and then we'll kind of wrap it all up. So, all awesome. Right. Excited to hear it.
I don't wrap it.
All
right. Here we go.
3, 2, 1, and...
Won't you please don't feel it, it's happening. Are you dreaming?
Just like that.
Just like that. Guys, that was phenomenal. I fucking love it. I love you guys.
I love you too, man.
What did you think, Justin?
I had a blast.
He had a blast.
A literal blast in his pants. Yeah. A blast. Yeah.
Yeah, Justin, sorry. I think Justin is like your groupie. I think you I would call him your groupie.
Justin's like one of the bears in Bear Squared.
I am the...
You're talking to a microphone, buddy. Any of them. Just into one.
I'm the official videographer for Bear Squared. So
I would agree.
I think we're all in agreement of that. And
only if you take your shirt off.
Always.
Thank
that,
you.
Yeah. That was hot.
Oh, you meant now. That was great. I loved it. I really did. I so appreciate you guys coming on and doing this. It's been a blast.
Maybe we'll do it again when the album's done.
It's been a treat.
That could be a goal.
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah.
Let you know how.
Yeah, please.
How hard or easy it was or wasn't.
Yeah, I definitely want to know how like your experience goes with getting, you know, your live album done, and I definitely want to check in like the process of like when it's out there and like how you're gonna keep promoting it and like where Bear Squared goes after that.
The studio album that'll be the one that I honestly don't know when that'll be done, but that will be the one, that'll be the conversation that will be like the really good one to have.
Yeah.
It'll be done soon enough. For sure.
I hope so, yeah.
Yes. I'm really excited to hear it.
The thing is it's crazy how much or how long you can be playing the same songs over and over and still come up with new ideas.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, Steven, you can attest to this too, is when you write a script, it's like you have the first draft, but by the time you get ready to shoot it, you're on draft 15. It's like, it's the same, it's that one idea, but you have something completely different. And it's like, it's the same thing, but it's way better. It's, you know, all these little people like saying, oh, maybe try this, or like even your circle of people that have been working on it, it's like, how about these little things? And it's like,
the album would be a lot more thorough than what we play live. Very thorough.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, until we meet again, you can always find us on Instagram at Bear Squared Band. Any in progress will be posted as a video.
Facebook as well.
We'll link it all below. And do you guys have any personal pages that you want people to follow?
Only Bear Squared.
Only Bear Squared? All right.
We'll steal
from
there.
And Wazzy. Check out Wazzy. They're an amazing band. Joe's wearing the shirt. Speaks
Shout
for
out to
itself.
Wazzy.
How could you not go see that live?
And you guys know where to find Justin.
He'll be right below us. Taking vids, as usual.
Exactly. Right below the belt.
Good old Justin.
Oh, and Ian Dow.
SKR Studios. SKR Studios, Ian Down. We're doing a private party for them on Saturday night.
Yes, I will be there.
A private party for us.
No, we're going to do it for them when we get there.
We're
going to grace them with a 45-minute set of heaven.
It's going to be a great record.
I have a surprise
for
these two. These guys, I have a trick up my sleeve for them for the next show.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
They know it.
We know it.
It's going to be
a trip.
What a trip.
It's going to be a good one. It's very Bear Squared. It's the most Bear Squared anything we could do performance-wise.
I'm open for it. Hey. Bring up the
album name.
Yeah.
Not yet. No, next time. Okay. Next time. Cause not until because if it's not, then it's gonna look weird. But
if it's not, then it's not.
We have a good we have a good concept for an album name that I heard and it blew me away. So
you'll tell me off air.
Exactly.
Any last piece of advice you'd like to give young people?
Never give up on your dreams.
That's good.
Things can seem pretty gross, but you know, just don't be a pessimistic person, and you'll do fine. Look at the beauty. You know, you can come out to LA and see so much competition, but if you look at it and see opportunity, then it changes your whole look on everything.
Yep.
And that's the way to tackle in football.
And always kiss and hug.
If you're in Hollywood, kiss.
Well, thank you guys so much. Joe, did you have any advice? No.
I like to speak for Joe and just say that
Joe won't stop staring at Justin right now, so he's kind of speechless.
I don't want to say things right now.
Okay.
No.
All right. We'll let the music speak for itself.
We'll let the music speak for itself, and maybe I'll come back with a solo thing that I say.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming. I really appreciate it. It's been a blast, and I'm excited that you guys are my first musical guests. And
thanks for having us, man. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks for coming on. Thank you, guys. Make sure to check out Bear Squared. Check out all their fantastic work they're doing and that they will do. You can find them on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Harrison Berger, Twitter Harrison C. Berger. And make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you can find podcasts, and I will see you next week. Love you all. Thanks for listening.
Can we do a quick
cut.
Harmony.
Bear squared. Bear squared. Bear squared. Bear squared.
Cut!